This is Todd Lights, public address announcer for your world champion, Los Angeles Dodgers. And you are listening to the Talk at the Urinal Podcast.
All right, episode 75, man. We're back. We have a special guest today. I think like one of our only five
Hey, he's been I think Natalie, since the beginning.
Bickerstaff and John brother, right? So yeah, he's been here since
Bickerstaff. You're next. So Bickerstaff, get ready. You're next.
No, I think it's perfect time to have a mom because we need to dissect this 4-game series, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of sports.
So he's a Mets guy with Mets and Raiders. We'll talk about
Mets Raiders. We'll have to figure that out. Yeah, what is this going on? He's in LA. That's why. So I think he grew up with the Raiders here, so it works out. You know.
Okay. We'll join him in.
Let's get him in here. Longtime buddy of mine. I go way back with this guy. Burbank legend.
Look at the back. Oh, Sidney.
All right. Just a disclaimer to all of our Dodger fans. So this is the one and only Jason Butters Buttress joining us from the beautiful city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Welcome, buddy.
That's right. Thank you, buddy. Thanks. Good to be here.
Dude,
definitely.
Finally, long overdue, right? Then speaking of Tennessee, you guys are you? Don't tell me you're a huge. Are you watching the World Series, College World Series?
Not too much. But yeah, it's pretty heavy here. Tennessee flags flying everywhere, and my neighbor across the street's a big time Vols fan, so he keeps me pretty updated.
Awesome.
Poor. He gets really depressed during football season, probably. So you got to keep him company.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So
let's get into this.
We had to bring him on because, okay, we've been talking some trash about your Mets, and you and I have been texting on the side saying we got to get you on here to kind of defend your position. Dodgers just played a big 4-game series with the Mets. We split it 2-2. All right, the floor is yours. Tell us why we should be believing in the Mets this year.
Well, even before we get into why we believe, right, I think I should probably explain how a kid who grows up in Burbank becomes a Mets fan. And so growing up, Mike Piazza was my favorite player. We went to games quite a bit. Obviously, living in Burbank, it wasn't too far. Dad had tickets through his company, so we went all the time. Became a huge fan of Mike Piazza. And then, 1998, it all came crashing down when they traded him to the Marlins. And stayed a Dodger fan. I couldn't become a Marlins fan. And then, he spent, I think it was a week there and ended up with the Mets. And at that point, had to follow him. And I've been a Mets fan for 23 years since. So, but this year, I think it's a little bit different. Buck Showalter is a huge piece of that, I think. The last 10 years where we've had the struggles towards the end of the season, we haven't had anybody, right, to the caliber of Buck Showalter managing. Somebody who's been there, who's been through it, has decades and decades of experience with teams that have gone the distance.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest difference this year. Yeah, Showalter is unbelievable.
Yeah. No fake mustaches in his back pocket, right?
No fake mustaches. But he's been through it, and I think he's probably helped to level the clubhouse a little bit. And then really, too, looking through and watching the games that I have this year, hitting is a big key for us this year. We're scoring runs. We're not hitting a ton of home runs, but we're scoring runs. We're driving up pitch counts with pitchers. Watching the game last night against the Padres, we basically cycle. Forced – yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Hey, I'm glad if you guys beat the Padres, I'm all cool with that. There we go.
Exactly. Do the dirty work for us. Help us out there.
Yeah. Well, we forced Snell, I think, into 46 pitches in the first inning. Basically, kind of drove him out of his rhythm. And we did that a little bit too with some of the Dodgers pitchers just fouling off pitches, like basically what Kansas City did to us in the World Series in 2015.
Yeah.
Where you just couldn't get them out. Right. You couldn't get them out. It was foul ball after foul ball after foul ball and then single and working guys around the bases. So that's been a big thing for us this year. And then I think, too, our second tier, what I like to call kind of our second tier pitchers, have performed well, right? You've got Scherzer, you've got DeGrom. We know who they are. But Carrasco has pitched great. And then even Bassett, who we picked up, and, you know, we've had guys that are going out and they're pitching solid. They're not Cy Young worthy, but they're pitching well. Bullpen's been okay. We've had a couple blown saves. Diaz seems to be a little bit back to normal after a touchy, you know, year or two. And those have all been keys, right? And you get the guys to believe in themselves. That's going to be the driving force. Now, am I willing to bet money for what we'll do at the end of the year? Not yet. I want to see more, but so far I've been pretty happy with what we have been doing. We're fun to watch.
You just came into LA and you split too, so yeah, that should tell you you might be able to hang come October.
After Mookie hit that 3-run double and it's 4-1, I'm like, dude, we're gonna sweep these guys. That was Saturday. I'm like, dude, the Mets are nothing. Let's go. So I started talking shit to Mets fans on Twitter, and then all of a sudden it's a 2-2 split. But
this I was worried.
DeGrom and Scherzer. So I'm sure we're gonna be. Obviously, we're going to see each other either what NLCS, NLDS, but.
Well, the thing is, you know what? In that division, I'm actually still, I mean, it's been a weak division. I think we're giving the Mets a little too much credit, and I'm still going to talk shit my shit on the Mets right now. The Braves are still in the World Series hangover. Yeah, I think the Braves are going to be there. They're slowly getting back in. I think they've picked off, the last four in a row, I think. They're going to be there in the end. The Marlins, they have no chance, I don't think, unless they make some crazy deadlines moves. Nationals traded away their whole entire team over the past couple years. And that leaves the Phillies, who don't even have a real manager right now. They have no pitching. So I think if the Mets don't make the playoffs, it's their own fault. I mean, they should make the playoffs at least as a wild card out of that division.
Yeah, they should. And I think, you know, you kind of said it, even with the Phillies, I know they've rung off a couple of wins since getting rid of Girardi, but I think that's just a little bit of dumb luck. They'll filter off a little bit.
That's how it always is. Eric said today, take the Angels tonight. Madden. You always got to take the team once they fire the manager, right?
I think Braves will make their push soon, but now you guys have a 9-game lead. I know it's only June, but I think you guys should, like you said, wild card or win the division, but you never know in baseball. Never know. So
it only takes one injury, right?
Yeah, I know. So. Exactly.
It only takes one guy slamming their hand into a door or getting bit by a dog. I mean,
that's the thing.
We've had both of those so far.
You guys had that, and you guys. This is the Mets. The best record in the NL. So it's like.
And the other thing I see a lot of, and this is why I think there's a good comparison with the Dodgers and the Mets are now, which makes it fitting that we just split that 4 games, is that you look at the Mets are without their two aces right now. And they're still winning. The Dodgers have had no Kershaw. May's been out for the whole entire year. Haney was on fire. He's been out. We've been having a whole bunch of second-tier guys step up for us, too, at the same time. But luckily, we just got a much better offensive team than, those poor people that have to share the limelight with the Yankees.
Hey, you know, I mean, you guys definitely.
Unbelievable. That guy. Can we just – that house takes it. Just walk him. Let's just walk him.
We said that. Just walk him.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys have the run differential, and I know I hear you talk about that on every podcast. You know, but at this point, as long as we can keep winning, you know, that's the goal, right? I don't care if we're plus 200 run differential at the end or plus 50. As long as we get the W's, continue to play well. Obviously, you know, I think getting DeGrom back, hopefully at some point in July, will be a big factor too of bringing up the clubhouse more, getting Scherzer back. And especially if we can get DeGrom to what he was in the first half of last season.
Well, yeah.
Right.
DeGrom's nasty. I'll give you that. DeGrom's.
So, Walter, I don't see like a 12-game losing streak in the near future. No. Like, or so you guys are going to stay afloat. You get the two guys back. So it's going to get probably scary.
And I think the Mets will be there in the end, I think. You know, I think it's going to be the Mets and Braves coming out of the division. You look at the rest of the NL. I think the NL Central is pretty weak. I know Milwaukee's in there. You got. I just think nothing special of the Central whatsoever. The Padres might taper off. I think it's going to be Dodgers, Mets, and I'm still not counting out the Braves. But I'm going to stick to my theory on this, that the Mets will never win a World Series until the year 2035 when they officially finally pay off Bobby Bonilla. He will be 72 years old, keep in mind, when they finish paying him. That is when the Mets will officially win a World Series, when that curse is broken.
You know, it's one of the best contracts ever signed. So, you know, very little cap hit on our payroll every year.
Yeah. And well, besides for him, it's amazing too.
Besides DJ's live contract.
Yeah.
DJ, yeah, Dustin Johnson.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that in a minute. But I mean, just to recap some Dodger news, I know we are still a Dodger podcast. We'll just end on some Dodger stuff. Some really good news. Looks like Haney and Muncy are both starting rehab assignments this Saturday out in Oklahoma City, so they should be back shortly. Kershaw back Sunday against San Fran. Yeah, so
yeah. I love that. Hey, against the hated rivals, let's go.
But against the hated ones, you better tell DeGrom and Scherzer to hurry up, because before you know it, we're going to be too far ahead.
At this point, it seems like DeGrom may never come back just because it's been so long. But, you know, hey, take his time. As long as he's ready to go when he comes back, I'll be happy.
Exactly. Actually, right. So should Kershaw too, man. I think you're right. As long as they're there for October, that's all you need.
Exactly. These guys are up there in age. They gotta make it to October. 162 game season is a damn long time.
Way too long. Yep. Any other MO? Oh, yeah, so Joe Madden. I know we never talk about Angels, but, yeah, Joe Madden's out. You can't lose 12 in a row, right? Lost the locker room. Even though all his players are saying the right things, but you can't – I don't know. You have too much talent to lose that many games in a row.
You were in first place. You can't lose that many games, no.
Now they're, what, 10 games back of Houston?
Something like that. Yeah, it's bad.
It's only June, though. Hammer Angels tonight, right? Like you said.
Take the Angels. All right. Other news.
Let's go.
Shift gears. We got some NBA finals now. Not too many people out there know that our guest is a all world basketball coach. I think he 11 titles in 12 seasons. Dude, so if there's anybody to talk NBA, and I hear the Sparks now have an opening, so you should submit an application.
Move back to LA.
I'll tell you what, though, you know. The Sparks not pay. They may not pay as well as Notre Dame High School did. So,
that's true.
You know, I don't know what their payroll looks like, but it might not be as well.
Yeah, they can't be doing good on ticket revenue, you know. So,
poor Derek Fisher, man. I don't know.
Sparks and so Paul was saying today he's going to coach Burrow's freshman team. He's going downhill his career.
Am I wrong in thinking just through Fisher's coaching career? I mean, hasn't it been basically a clown show since the beginning with him and coaching?
Absolutely. My favorite was the flying back to Cali to hook up.
It all started with the Matt Barnes stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'll start with that right there. Yeah. Well, the series, 1-1, Boston got the split. But then you watch game two, it's like Warriors are, they win by 30. Because it was like a 5-point game, and all the Warriors just warrior. They go on a freaking – they hit, 10 – so I don't know. What do you guys stand on? Like, what do you guys think? Do you guys favor Warriors? Or do you like, okay, Boston goes home, which they haven't been great at home this playoffs. So I don't know. What are you guys thinking?
I mean, I'm as anti-Boston as they come.
Yes, of course.
Obviously. Yeah. But I don't see – when the Warriors are playing as the Warriors, it's a team that really – the NBA hasn't really ever seen before.
Yeah.
Right. The speed, the shooting, they revolutionized the game, and they may not be the exact same team they were 5, 6, 7 years ago, but it's still Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. They've got a team that just gels together really well. Yeah, and even
Klay
Wiggins
hasn't even got going yet.
And Wiggins, yeah. And I wasn't even sure Wiggins would fit in all that well. And he's kind of fit in really well. I mean, Kevon Looney, right. A former Bruin, is playing great with them. I just don't think Boston's going to be a whole lot. I think I've got Warriors in 6. I think Boston might get tomorrow night. And then I think it'll be 3 straight for Golden State.
Yeah, I'm thinking Warriors in 7. You're right, but it's the experience, man. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think, Paul?
Here's what I'm saying. I think probably Butters has been listening to the pod too long to, because he's right. I'm right with them. We're together on this. I think it's going to be Warriors in 6. I do think Boston might pick one off again tomorrow night, only because I got some stats here. You know me and my stats. Celtics are 6-0 following a loss this playoff.
Okay. Hey, but the 18-0 streak, the Tampa Bay is over. So this one might end, you know?
Lightning? Could, yeah, could, but they're also 6-0 against the spread as well off a playoff loss. So follow the science here, Fauci. Follow the science.
You're saying hammer, Boston,
hammer the Celtics
Boston,
tomorrow.
Two-teamer, dude.
Here's the thing. Tatum, after a loss, he's 31.5 points per game, shooting 50% from the floor. I think Boston steps up tomorrow. And here's the thing. I think we can look at that game, too, where they got destroyed. Yeah, they lost by a million, it seemed like. I actually probably think they put all their eggs into the basket for game one, said, let's just hit them in the mouth right now, get game one. We don't really care what happens game two. Let's steal one up in the Bay Area and get back home to Boston. I actually think that they do take a 2-1 lead tomorrow in Boston, but then I think the Warriors turn it on.
I think it's 2-2 going back to Golden State, but we'll see. I think it goes the distance, but I don't know. Warriors and six might be the good move too. But
and tomorrow's the first finals game in Boston and since 12 years,
Lakers, right? Yeah, 2010. Yeah.
So, you know, town's going to be up for it. Team will be up for it. I wouldn't be shocked to see Boston win tomorrow night, or Wednesday night. But yeah,
again,
it won't
going
be.
Back to what I said, I mean, we all thought they would close out the Heat at home. That game six, they lost. And then the Bucks, I think they have a chance to take a lead against the Bucks. They lost. So we'll see.
I think there's a reason why they're 6-0 after a loss in the playoffs. Yeah. I think they make the right adjustments. And I think you're going to see those adjustments made in Wednesday night's game. And I think they might get that game. But then I think I agree with Butters here that I think it's over after that. I think the Warriors just turn it on and
can we just
they light them up.
Some close games, though.
I know. None of these more I'm not going to lie. I turned off the last game after, I think, the halfway through the third
so
quarter.
Many blowouts, man. It's ridiculous.
All right, we got to talk Lakers. We got to talk Lakers. I know. It's still NBA Finals. We got to talk Lakers, especially if we got Mr. Laker on right now with us.
I like.
What
the
do we think? Hirings, the firings.
You and I texted Paul when they hired Ham. Not ecstatic over the hire. I don't really think the Lakers organization is a team that goes out and hires an assistant, but. You know, I'll give him a chance. I don't really like the fact, too, that he's been with the Bucks the entire time. I'd like to see an assistant that maybe travel a little bit more, a couple different coaches, a couple different styles. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see success, preferably, in each of those. That's not always possible. But, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. From what I've seen so far, he's saying everything correct. He seems like he's kind of a hard ass, which I like. I think the Lakers need that.
We need that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because Vogel, you know, I don't know if he lost the locker room because everyone were saying the right things, but I think we did need a change at that point, which I didn't know it was Vogel's fault, like Paul and I were saying a lot of times. I think it's just, I don't know, something needs to change.
It's the scapegoat.
It's the scapegoat.
Of course, the coach is always a scapegoat. Yeah.
Always the man.
And I actually, I'm with you. When I first heard it, I'm like, kind of like, I wasn't really impressed and, you know, I could take it or leave it, but I'm starting to grow on it a little bit because I think you're right. I think he is the hardest that we need. And the fact that he just got rid of, I think, Fizdale, who has been, I think, a great assistant coach. And he had the quote of, you know, I only want coaches here that are going to roll up their sleeves. I think he's being a hard ass. He's cleaning house. And who else? We all know who rolls up their sleeves than Rasheed Wallace.
All the players left Phil Handy too. So that's the only coach he kept. And then bringing Rasheed.
Like, again, I said, you bring in all these coaches. Okay, you become a hard ass. Is it still going to work to get these big three to figure it out and play together? These coaches aren't on the court. It's still down to Westbrook.
We've seen that LeBron and AD could work, but the Westbrook – I don't know. I still go back to like get him off the bench, but he'll never do that, right?
I don't think he'll do it willingly. Maybe Ham's the coach.
Maybe Ham or Steve, like, hey, bro, dude.
Yeah.
You want to start winning, dude? Everyone thinks, yeah, you're talented. You put up good numbers, but no one's going to take you seriously as like unless you win a ring or something, or at least get to like a finals run. You know what I mean?
Well, it's funny. Did you see I saw on Twitter today, somebody reposted the Rasheed Wallace interview that he did almost basically a year ago, where he called Russell Westbrook the best player in the NBA at that time, said he was better than Curry, better than LeBron, better than KD, better than all these guys. And it's funny because they showed the reaction of the rest of the people on the panel and they're just like, what the hell are you talking about? Are you high right now?
And then Ham said, what did he say yesterday, that he's still one of the best players, which I don't think he is yet. Maybe when he had that run with OKC, he's definitely one of, like, would you guys put him in the top 30 right now? He used to be top 10. What do you guys think now?
Top 30, I would. I think people confuse best in the NBA and most athletic, right? Because the guy is a freak.
And then you see stats, but then you see his shooting stats. You're like, no, why is this guy? Yeah.
Yeah, you see the shooting stats. I mean, he does everything else okay, but he also, I think he's getting older and, you know, stuff isn't coming as easy as it was. So hopefully, I mean, I would say I would probably still keep him in the top 30, but he's 28, 29, maybe, you know, maybe 30. So he's dropping.
Either buys in or we trade him, but then, like they were saying,
nobody's going to take that contract.
We can't trade him.
We're still giving him at least another year. Yep.
I think that was another one that I kind of flip-flopped on. Paul and I were texting about, you know, getting rid of him. Who cares? It's one draft pick. But at the same time, he's only got 1 year left. Just deal with it.
I don't, one more year, and then if he buys in and works out.
It's a good point, because you know what? No matter what, you're setting yourself up for a rebuild.
Yep.
So it's either you trade away the draft pick now and you just have to suck it up as a Laker fan and know that you're going to be rebuilding and trying to clear some space for the next 2-3 years, or you keep on, you hold on to them. Maybe they can gel under a new coach. If it doesn't work, okay, we walk away at the end of this year.
Yeah. And I think nobody, you know, very few teams rebuild as fast as the Lakers do, minus those post Kobe years. Right. Yeah. So we do rebuild quick, and we don't rebuild through the draft. So I would like to keep that first round pick, whatever year it might have been, if we were going to trade him as the trade bait for somebody else down the road. I think we've got to bite the bullet for this year, let Ham do his thing. Maybe we can make something of it. And it's all about staying healthy too, right? Can we get
– stays healthy and then
– yeah. Can we get 70 games out of LeBron, 70 games out of AD?
It's a lot to ask out of him as a rookie coach, but I mean, I don't know. They buy in.
I mean, it's a lot to ask AD to play 70 games. True. So,
a lot of, I don't know.
We know that's not going to happen. We already know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we know. But, that's enough Laker talk for the losing franchise lately, right? How long has it been? 10 years?
In LA, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Mickey Mouse ring. No, we still count it. We still count it, right? Everyone doesn't count anymore. Anyways, let's get into this golf thing. That's the main topic right now.
Big news. Big golf news.
I don't know. Where do you guys – I think people are making a big deal out of it. I think, it's guaranteed contract. And I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm going to let Butchers lead this one off because he's a golf guy. He's always been a golf guy.
Yeah.
In all honesty, the PGA Tour is scared. They're terrified. And that's why they're taking this hardline stance. Mm-hmm. You know, Phil is getting reported $200 million guaranteed to play in, 6 events?
Yeah.
Win, lose, injury, doesn't matter. He's getting a $200 million check.
Last place gets what, like over 100 grand, right?
Which he said he's going to play in all of them, though. Yeah. He said he's going to play all of them.
Yeah, he says he's going to play all of them. And then I think DJ, I thought I saw was $125 million.
Correct.
So these guys are looking at it purely from a money standpoint and guaranteed money, right? And
I don't blame them. I don't blame
them
either.
No, I don't blame them either. And of course, Phil and DJ, they make their money on the PGA Tour. It's not like they're struggling. But for some of the other guys, they're looking at it like, hey, if I can get $1 million or $2 million or $5 million, why wouldn't you take it? I would, if I'm guaranteed a higher salary in my work,
and you can still play the majors. Yeah,
we don't know that yet.
Or they're I think they're still
trying to figure that out, right?
At least DJ and Bill got the
lifetime membership.
Yeah. Well, USGA came out today and said that they'll be allowed to play in the U.S. Open. I really don't see the Royal and Ancient, you know, the European Golf Club or whatever. I don't see them denying them the Open Championship either.
I guess the only one we see is the Masters, since they're kind of
– Well, they also said no Ryder Cup, no President's Cup. So that one's not, which Ryder Cup is probably my favorite tournament.
But we don't. Yeah, no Ryder Cup, no President's Cup.
At this point, right?
He was 5-0 last year.
Well, I guess we could use him, but
– Well, and I think, you know, I think a lot of it, too, is fake outrage, right? It's the people that are complaining about this LIV, however they're calling it, tour, you know, are they're complaining about because it's backed by Saudi Arabia and the public investment fund and some of the humanitarian issues there. And I think we all get that. But these are all the same people wearing Nike. They're complaining about this.
It took the words out of my mouth.
Who's going first for politics advice anyway? So it's like, that's what, I think that's what most of these guys are saying. It's like, this is better for my family, making more money. Yeah. It's like, you guys shouldn't come to me.
Nobody should be talking trash or giving their takes on Phil about his choice to join this Saudi-backed golf, and you're still following and listening, getting all your news from LeBron. Like, it's just, you just can't, you need to shut up if that's
who's in, what, billions of dollars with China, you know what I mean? It's, if you, I don't know, it's all.
So I'm actually excited. I'm kind of excited to watch.
I'm with you. I'm going
to
watch.
Turns out to be, and I think again,
shotgun start.
Yeah. And again, I think it's all, the PGA is terrified. They're not going to show that. They'll never say it. But they are. I think that they're scared that there's finally a league that's pulling some interest from the top golfers in the world. And Rory McIlroy and all these other ones saying they have no interest whatsoever, they're lying. They've thought about it. Maybe they haven't made the commitment yet, and they're a little worried, but they're thinking about it also.
Well, now, so you know what, Rory? You spoke too soon, Rory. You can't back out now.
He did trash. Yeah. Though, what do you think? The dominoes will start to fall? And like, as it keeps going on, like, hey, if I could play the four majors, why not just go and they hear talk?
If this year goes off without a hitch and the tournaments go well, I think, you know, each year moving forward, obviously you're going to see more and more dropping from the PGA and opting to play in this live league, live, I don't know what even they're calling it, live tour.
Yeah, live.
But this first year is the pivotal moment, right? Do people show up to these tournaments? What does the funding look like, obviously, on top of what they're already receiving? So that'll be the key.
Tiger would never.
I think it's going to work out. Right? He's out of the U.S. Open, but you're talking, are the dominoes going to start falling? I think so. You look at some of the names that have already left and already said this. These aren't just pushover guys. I mean, some of these guys are pretty solid. Sergio, Louis, Kevin Na. I mean, some of these guys are decent golfers, and I think you're going to see more.
I'll be honest. Good riddance, Kevin Na. Schwartzel? Golf rounds. Well, yeah, I liked him, but golf rounds will, you know, the time of play will decrease by about 30 minutes with Kevin Na not being on the PGA tour.
Sounds like DeChambeau's going to play in the Portland one. I think I was just reading on Twitter, which is not surprising.
The Waterbury Open?
Yeah, the Waterbury Open. No, I don't know. Either way, like, these guys leaving, if you're a golf fan, I think you're going to watch whatever two is, right?
You're going to watch where the talent goes.
Yeah.
You know, and if the golf is good, you're going to watch it.
True.
I'll tell you this. I'll watch this before I watch another one of these damn matches, dude. I'm done with these matches. I don't want to see Brady and Man. I'm done with this. Yeah, I don't even want to see those anymore. I'll watch the live over. I watch it before I watch another match.
When you got Charles Barkley commentating, you still got.
Then maybe.
Well, no, for these matches, at least we have Charles talking. But I do agree with you. It's the matches are kind of getting old. Unless
maybe the live can sign Charles Barkley.
That's huge.
People were saying, like, who's going to be the announcers?
I haven't seen anything on that. So all I know is they're live streaming it on their website to start. So they need to figure out a way to get a TV contract and get this stuff on TV.
What do you
but
guys think,
I'd be curious.
The tour does from here real quick, or do we got
to
make it?
Well, I think they're going to have to soften their stance if they want the main talent to stay, right? You can't tell me the PGA Tour is better off with Dustin Johnson not a part of it.
Just try coexist, right?
You're going to have to try and coexist.
They're tired. They don't want to hear the backlash because politics is involved with everything now, right? That's their main issue.
Yep.
We'll see. Time will tell. But again, who's the PGA to say that, no, you cannot do this? We own – you know what I mean? PGA is going to have to change their rules. PGA is going to have to adapt to this. Suck it up, PGA. Sorry.
All right, so getting back into it. So, yeah, it's curious with – see how it's moving forward, right, with the live, and then what's the PGA does going forward. We'll see. But you guys are going to watch it.
I plan to. Yeah.
I'm in.
You're in.
I'm in. You know, I'm a lefty guy. Anywhere lefty goes, I'm going to watch.
That's true. I'm a Tiger guy, dude. So let's get into Tiger. So he's
speaking.
Or are we shocked that he's out? Not really after how he looked on the – He didn't even play the final round at the PGA.
PGA.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Tulsa.
Yeah. So it's not shocking. it's gonna, that sucks, but it's not a 2-round tournament. So he's like, dude, it's still 4 rounds. I'm not gonna play this one. So he, what'd he say? He's gonna play in the British Open, right?
I think I saw that, yeah, but he has to, right? That's being played at St. Andrews. Yeah, that's the home of golf.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You can't miss that. I mean, for him missing the U.S. Open, I mean, to be honest, it's a bummer.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, even just watching, he does so much for golf and he's done so much. And I've never been a huge Tiger fan, right? Growing up in high school, I was a big David Duval fan. Okay. In fact, I even made my parents go out and buy me the $350 Oakleys that he wore I could wear them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was never a huge Tiger fan, but over the years, you just appreciate what he's done. And at the level that he has played and just utterly destroyed the field for as long as he did. And it's more entertaining, you know.
How much do you guys think Liv would offer it? What's his contract?
Oh. Well, I, you know, that's the thing, right?
Is not that he needs it, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would think, obviously I would think he'd get more than Phil, but from the Live Tour, would you offer him $400 million at his age and where his body's at?
I don't think he can, but then again, these salaries got more money than God. So that's just a drop in the bucket for them.
True. True.
He would never,
if it's going to bring in fans, you know, they might. I think with Tiger, and I said this back when he did play the Masters, I thought he came back too soon. And we saw it in the Masters how he was just uncomfortable come Saturday, or even after the second round. So I think he came back too soon, and I wish he had just maybe saved it for the U.S. Open, because I feel like the U.S. Open is that one that, you know, every American wants to win. Of course, everybody wants to win the Masters, but I just wish he had saved it.
Breaking news, they just signed Charlie Woods to the Live, dude. They gave him $100 million, dude.
Now Tiger's got to go.
That's what they should do. That will do PGA Tour. Really,
that's smart.
If Charlie was only, you know, 5 years older.
Yeah, then, yeah, for sure.
Why not? Sign him. You know, your soccer players getting signed at 7 years old. Sign him. This is Saudi Arabia, right? This is a whole different – they play by a different set of rules over there, right? Yeah, sign them.
Seriously.
All right, so that's enough golf. We can't be a golf podcast, right, Paul? All right, so let's get into NFL. That's what everyone cares about. Where do you guys want to start on that? Donald got paid. We're not surprised by that, right? Did you guys believe that he might retire? Or kind of, huh?
A little part of me thought about it. I think he's such a smart guy, and I think he's one of these guys. He's going to be one of these NFL players that I think spends his money wisely. I don't see him blowing through his whole entire, you know, pocketbook and being broke. I think he's probably one of those guys thinking, you know what? I've made so much money. Why not get out with my whole entire body still in one tack?
And I also, after this, I give up on the salary crap and try to figure it out, because the Rams, how many players? I don't get it anymore. Do you guys?
I'm with you.
I'm a finance guy, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The amount of money that they're paying for the amount of different players across the board, it makes no sense.
It's just all like back end stuff, or I don't know.
I know that they can definitely back end load a lot of it, and I think guaranteed money hits the cap differently than non guaranteed money. I think you need a PhD in salary caps to even start to understand. Yeah.
All right. So that's, yeah, Donald, what else? Garoppolo doesn't show up to camp, which I'm not surprised, right? Because these are all starting the mandatory mini camps, right? We're 3 days away, guys. Dude,
I don't, the Garoppolo thing, I don't think is no news to me, because
he had his chance. He blew
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Stick to the porn stars, dude. Stick to the porn stars. Make your money and get out. I mean, I'm not really seeing. My intrigue is I know that Butters is a huge Raiders guy and also a huge Kupernick guy.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
We'll stick with the Raiders.
Yeah, you have the four with the Raiders. They made some great offseason moves.
We got a lot of Raider fans that follow our pod. So
I'll tell you, I nearly jumped off the roof when we finally got Adams. I think that was something as a Raider fan and a big Carr fan, we've been hoping for a long time that could happen, right? Reunite them. Gives Carr truly his first incredible wide receiver target that he really hasn't had. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, offensively, I think we're going to be amazing now with Darren Waller, although he had a little bit of a down year last year. You know, Josh Jacobs is doing what he needs to do. And I don't think we need a ton more out of him. Defense, I still have questions on, right? I think we've got some good signings there, but I want to see him on the field and I want us to perform. Again, like I texted with you, Paul, my concern is this could be the best Raiders team since our Super Bowl team in 2003, and we can very easily finish last in the division.
Just because of division, yeah.
The division's insane. Division. I mean, top to bottom, I'd be hard-pressed to find a division better the NFL has had maybe ever, you know, from top to, you know, top to bottom. I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's a worry that I have, but you know, again, we'll see. The Raiders are coming to Nashville in September. So I might have to make the 2-hour drive and you know, see if I can attend a Raider game in person.
What's the date on that?
We have to go out there, bro.
September. It's the third game of the year, September 20th, something in there. Want to come out to Nashville?
I was going to say, should we take the pod on the road to Nashville?
Dude, we got to. I've never been.
I'd love to go to Nashville. It's like it's on my list.
Nashville is amazing. Nashville is amazing. So we'll talk and we'll get it set up.
Because the other thing we were trying to do, Eric and I, and you know McGinley, we were trying to get to a Raiders Monday night game, but they didn't put one on the schedule this season, unfortunately.
Is there a Sunday?
We don't
night
have
game?
A single Monday night game, or just not at home, one in Vegas.
Not in Vegas.
Was there a Sunday night in Vegas? Anyone know?
I don't think there was. I think the Raiders kind of got shafted on primetime games. I'll pull it up right now real quick. But just getting back into the division, I want to get your prediction on how everything's gonna fall. But I actually think that we're putting a little too much faith in Russell Wilson in Denver. I think Denver's going to finish last in that division. I don't think Russell Wilson has enough weapons around him to really make a big difference.
Yeah,
I don't know. What's your take on that?
No, I mean, I know it's certainly – it's been like the most overhyped move in the offseason. I know there's been a lot of offseason moves, but they're also just putting Broncos straight into the playoffs just because Wilson, which I get that he's been great, but I don't know. Who are his weapons? You're right. Like Judy, he thinks Judy will end up being, and then Hamlin or Hamler. And then I don't know. You're right. You're right, Paul. I think it's a lot of people are.
I think we're overhyping it. I think we're overhyping the Denver move. So I think the Raiders will be all right. I think the Raiders will be fine just as long as all of their players can stay out of handcuffs in Vegas. Yeah. Don't do stupid shit. Don't get behind the wheel after you've had 30 cocktails.
Don't sign Kaepernick.
Yeah. That's going to bring the
it doesn't look like that's happening. Okay. So
they gave him a look, though. They gave him a look.
36-year-old, gave him a look, dude.
All right, so it looks like there is a Sunday night game. It is Sunday, December 18th. It's the Sunday night game against the Patriots. Against the Patriots. They do have a Monday night game as well, but that's on the road at KC. That should be a great game, week 5.
Now, I do want to make a game in Vegas this year. You know our other buddy, Paul, Jason Dyer, who now lives in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
He's been to a couple.
Big His Cowboys guy.
Big Raiders. Yeah, we don't talk about the Cowboys, but he talks about how amazing that stadium and that whole experience is, which – I don't know why it took us so long to put an NFL team, let alone any professional team, in Vegas. Yeah, it should have been decades ago.
Say now NBA is going to be pretty soon. They'll have it.
I think
baseball. Well, they already have the G League there too. So yeah, I mean, so it makes sense to put an NBA team there. But I don't know, man. Can you imagine the trouble NBA players are going to get into in Vegas if NFL's doing this. What's NBA going to be doing?
Dude, but what about, baseball? Oakland's got to try to get to Vegas, dude.
Oakland's got to do something. There's I don't know more, if it's going to Vegas, though. There's more
games at our Park and Rec League, adult league.
Oh, man. That stadium's falling apart. It's held together by duct tape and bubble gum, I think. And the problem is you just got to put them indoors. I don't know. Can that stadium, the Raiders are in, the Allegiant Stadium, right, turn into a baseball field?
No, I don't think
they
so.
Can't play outdoors in summertime. Outdoor. Right. You know?
No,
right. But they could do that. No, there's enough money out there from Paul and I, too. They could build an indoor.
They could build one easily, and I think too. You know, they may have to play somewhere else, or they just stick with Oakland for the 3 years it might take to build it.
We got to start now, though. That's the problem. We got to move now.
I think they need to move regardless. Even if they go to Vegas, they need to move somewhere else for the 3 years. They got to go somewhere else to play until that stadium's ready.
Right. Yeah.
Oakland doesn't care. They've made it very clear that they don't care. Even at least for the Raider games, people showed up. Nobody is showing up for Oakland for the A's. And you got to go.
It's a joke.
And it's rough.
The Raiders. Hey, we are. I feel like we are a Raiders podcast, Paul. We
got so many Raiders that follow us. You know what? Yeah. Just as long as nobody's getting, like I said, keep them out of handcuffs, keep them from behind the wheel after drinking, and don't be signing non-disclosure agreements after you're getting 60 massages in the period of like a month. So.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys want to talk about the show? It's literally a touchy subject, but. No, I don't know. Cause we're not trying to get canceled. I'm not trying to cancel a guy either. Cause he didn't obviously get. I don't know. It's just like, what was the latest report today? 66. You saw that, Paul? What'd I send you?
66 massages in how long?
What was that? In 17 months? Or, yeah, 17 months? Or,
you know my take on it. I don't even want to talk about it because I'm just disgusted at how they can treat him and give him this contract. And the NFL is doing jack shit about it. Yet we got Trevor Bauer, who didn't even do a single thing wrong except for getting fooled by a chick, and he gets 2 seasons. I'm not even gonna get into it. Yeah, we don't get into that.
But how long do you think his suspension will be? There has to be a suspension. I mean, one guy gambled; he's out for the year.
There has to be, but I just don't know. I don't have faith in the NFL handling these situations correctly anymore.
That's true.
It's never made sense to me across any of the leagues how a player is suspended, and I mean this truthfully, like how they're suspended when there's no charges. They almost suspend them just because the situation even arose, right? And you could say Trevor Bauer. Well, nothing came of it. Charges were dropped. I don't understand the suspension. What are you suspending him for?
It's like a moral thing, I think. That's a black eye on the league. You disrespected the league. You made the league look bad.
Is it going to stop anyone from watching?
No, of course not.
So. Yeah.
You're right. If they're not convicted or anything, and the wiser suspensions, I get that. I don't know.
Yeah. They tried to, I think, look at Major League Baseball. They never liked Trevor Bauer because he was very outspoken about the league. He's been very outspoken about Manfred. So they just did this. You know what? They picked on him. They did this to set an example. Like, you know what? This has nothing to do with your charges being dropped anymore. This is now to do because we don't like you. That's what this one was. This one was a bully tactic, I think, giving him 2 years on top of the year he just spent not being able to play.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad he didn't sign with the Mets, but.
You better hope his suspension doesn't get dropped, and then you'll be seeing him come October in the NLCS.
I don't know. I think the Dodgers gave up on him too, huh?
Yeah, they did. I don't think they need him back in the clubhouse. But
Does he pitch in Major League Baseball again?
Ooh.
He's going to join a Saudi baseball league and get paid. You know what? That's a good question. That's a great question.
And I mean it wholeheartedly. Know. And I think he should.
I agree.
I truly, honestly wonder if he ever pitches again. And it'd be a shame if he doesn't.
I agree. Yeah, I think he should. I think he might, fight this. And what's the word I'm looking for? That he's just going to try to make a statement and just say, screw you to the league. He's got money. He's made enough money. Hopefully he saved it. He should pitch in the league again. I don't know. It's a good question.
More of the story when you're a MLB pitcher and you're in the league on the Dodgers. Yeah. So let's not DM on the Instagram.
These hoes ain't loyal.
I'm sure just you could find someone. I don't know. At the end of the day, it's his fault. But can't be DMing some randoms, dude.
Yeah.
When you're in the league.
I hear you. Get the non-disclosure.
Or have 66 women and do massages. You can't do it.
Get the non-disclosure agreements. Come on. Butters, can't you can draft one of those up, right? You're a legal finance
guy. I can
have
one to you in about 5 minutes.
There you go. See? He's got the wrong people in his camp.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, did you hear the Lakers are hiring for a basketball scout entry level?
I did see that.
I wonder how many applications do you think they're going to get? Oh my God. Especially now that it's been publicized.
I think Russefo's number one on the list. Russefo's number one, dude.
He's got a tent. He's camping outside the door right now. He's camping outside the stadium.
He'll do it only so he can run his MVP camp in crypto.com arena or whatever it's called now.
Exactly. Oh, wow. That's so true. That's a good one. Oh, dude, you should put in, Jason. Come on. Dude.
I've got to look. I've got to look your resume. I'd be curious.
Say I won this many league titles at the
Tell him. Put some references.
I'd be really interested to see what kind of, position, what requirements they've got posted, what the job posting even looks like, right? It did say they said entry level. So, obviously you're in the, talent department or whatever, but I don't know. I'd be curious to see what it looks like. I'll have to check it out.
They need a numbers cruncher right out of college, probably.
It's gotta be something. And I'm a remote worker, man. I've been remote a couple years now. I'm not leaving Tennessee. So
I was gonna ask you, are you even at your office, even at home? You're probably in your truck camping somewhere right now. You're outdoors more than you are at work.
I was camping last weekend. I watched the Dodger game Friday night from my tent, at about midnight because, it's 3 hours later here. Yeah. But no, I'm at home until Friday, and I'll be back out in the woods this Friday.
Perfect.
Legend, dude. He's living the life. We're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong, man.
I know.
Now, I do have to add one thing before we go. And, I think I know now why Paul has waited this long to invite me on to the podcast. Oh, geez.
Let's hear it.
It's been about a year now. He's talked about it. We got to bring you on. I kept saying, all you got to do is tell me.
And by the way, this isn't going to be the last time. We're going to have you back on because we're all UCLA football guys here. So yes. we're going to do something NFL and UCLA are going, Raiders and UCLA, we got to get you back on.
And I love it because everyone's talking about USC going into the year. So, hey, no one's talking about us. I love it.
So I think, Paul might still be a little bit hurt because I want to say about 17 years ago, he taught me how to play this game, Uno. And I just, I spent the next, 6 hours pretty much wiping the floor with him. And I don't think he's ever let it go.
Oh, there's a back. You know what? Real quick, there is some back to this. I was very exhausted. We were working like, a 20-hour shift, 24-hour shift.
3 days. Yeah.
Nonstop around the clock.
Is this Park and Rec?
Yeah. This is for the – remember the Burbank Hills fire we had above DeBell? Like 2004, 2005, Paul and I got called in because city workers are, disaster workers or emergency workers. And they stuck us at Muir Middle School and put us in a supply table, basically. Yep, so firefighters would come by and say, hey, I need batteries. And we had a whole crap ton of batteries. Yeah. I'll tell you what, after that couple of days, I didn't buy batteries again for probably 5 years.
I do remember that. Yes, I do remember that.
Because they let us take them all home.
Leftover batteries. Yep.
Yep. Double A, triple A, C, D, everything.
Oh, that's amazing.
I do remember that. That is, that's funny.
Yep. So,
I've been at Mir when you guys were there. Going to school there. You guys were there 2004, 2005?
I think it was 2004, 2005. It was before I moved to Arizona.
Remember that big, fire was.
Yep.
There was a big fire. Yeah, we were stationed there, and I remember we were working like a 24-hour shift or something, and we got so bored, and somebody ran to go get like a board game or some cards to play, and I remember we brought back Uno, and it was Jason, myself, and Diana Felix, and we were playing Uno.
It wasn't Diana. It was Candace.
I don't remember. See, now
I've got a good memory. It was I'm pretty sure it was Candace. Yeah, and I was tired.
I was sleepy.
Yeah, we were all sleepy, buddy. We had all been there 24 hours.
All right. Well, then you know what? We're going either to Nashville or to Vegas, and we're bringing a deck of Uno cards, and we'll settle this once and for all.
And we'll definitely bring you back on.
I've been to a couple bars in Nashville. They've got all the games. Connect Four, Uno.
Oh man, let's do it.
All of them.
We got to go hammer it out. Bachelorette parties, though.
But yeah, we'll definitely bring you back on, and for sure. August, September, Mets will be Mets and Dodgers in the playoffs by then. About in September, October.
Maybe by August, the Dodgers' strength of schedule will get a little bit harder too.
Wow,
they've had kind of an easy strength of schedule so far.
Dude, we're at the White Sox right now. We had the Mets. We got this guy. No, but I think that's perfect. Let's aim for September, because then we'll see where the Raiders are doing. We'll see what UCLA is doing, and we'll see Dodgers and Mets. That'll be the perfect episode right there. And I'll work on my Uno skills right now.
And we'll be that much closer to college basketball too.
And you might you might be a scout by then, or Graceffa, one of you guys.
All right, man. Well, thank you for coming on, bro.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Definitely. We'll talk.
All right, guys.
Later, boys.
Later, man.